produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, a very good day to everybody out there. My name is Pearl Coupe, and this is our weekly radio show where we together search the scriptures and just discover what the scriptures are saying to us and how they're teaching and equipping and empowering us for such a time as this. Today, I want to talk about the parable of the sower and see what nuggets we can glean from the parable of the sower. What is the critical message that it is teaching us, and what kind of real good nuggets can we take from it and apply them in our own lives? And before we do that, just as a way of introduction, I do want to just remind us that Yeshua HaMashiach, loved to tell parables. He was a storyteller par excellence, as they would say in French. And he just loved to, you know, demonstrate principles through the usage of parables. What is a parable to begin with? Well, a parable, quite simply, is a short, simple story of, you know, life, common life, and it conveys a spiritual truth. So it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, if you want to put it differently. And why is it that Yeshua spoke in parables? He loved to speak in parables. Let's just critically go through, you know, some reasons why he spoke in parables, and then we'll get to the exact parable of the sower. Number one, Yeshua loved to speak in parables so that he could reveal truth. If you search the scriptures, you search the parables, you will find that they reveal truth. In Matthew 13, verses 10 and 11, the word of God says this. It says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given.'" So there are mysteries that are contained. The mysteries of the kingdom are contained in the parables of the kingdom. These are secrets that can be hidden, you know, from the foundation of the world. So the parables now open our eyes to greater and deeper insights into not only the kingdom of God, but the King of Kings himself. The parables open up our eyes and give us a greater glimpse into the spiritual realm of what is really happening in the spiritual realm. So that's number one. Yeshua spoke in parables so that he could reveal the truth and the mysteries of the kingdom. Two, not only to reveal the truth, but to illustrate the truth. You know, truth becomes so much more clearer when you actually show it, you illustrate it. So is you can teach, but then you can also show through storytelling and the use of examples, everyday examples, you can illustrate the truth even more. And so his usage of the parables are, you know, so that he could provide examples of how truth is applied to everyday life. And we see that also in Luke 10, verses 29 to 36. And there was a lawyer there who asked Yeshua HaMashiach. He asked him this question and he said, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" Simple question. Yeshua answered with a parable and he gave him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And when you read that whole scripture, you'll find that Jesus actually was now redefining the term neighbor, because you and I may just think in very simplistic terms, in terms of who my neighbor is. We may think our neighbor is, you know, person who looks like me, or my neighbor is the one who lives immediately next to me, or my neighbor is somebody who's of the same color as I am. That's my neighbor. But Jesus, now using the parable of the Good Samaritan, redefined the meaning and the term neighbor. And now it was being defined, your neighbor is now a person of any race who is in need. who is in need, because that's what the story of the Good Samaritan tells us. This was somebody who was helped by somebody of different ethnicity. It was different ethnicity, you know, and so we know that it's not ethnicity that defines who our neighbor is. It's not just a person who lives nearby, because if you and I, if I was to ask you who your neighbor is, you will think immediately of the person who stays next door to you. So Yeshua is saying, no, 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 your neighbor goes far beyond a person who has your same ethnicity. Your neighbor is not just a person who lives next door or nearby to you. But your neighbor is somebody of different ethnicity. And so that was really critical in terms of redefining neighbor as somebody who is not ethnically bound. We're not bound by ethnicity or bound by jurisdiction of where we lived. And that whole parable also shows how we really treat our neighbors, how we're supposed to treat our neighbors in terms of providing them with assistance, providing them with care, providing them with help. So the parable of the Good Samaritan was a parable which now redefined the terminology neighbor, and also showed us the kingdom principles as to how we are to treat our neighbor. Because remember, the commandment is to love thy neighbor. And so before you can love your neighbor, you need to know who your neighbor is. So Yeshua spoke in parables, one, to reveal truth, two, to illustrate the truth so we could see how it applies in everyday life, three, also to make truth relevant and practical so he could bring some terminologies or spiritual truths which we may have thought were a little bit complicated or complex, but he would bring those complex spiritual truths down to a different level, a simple level, and he would do that by using terms that you and I could easily relate to, terms that we knew applied in our everyday life. He spoke their language, he spoke their lingo, he understood their lifestyle and you know, the life within which they lived. And he used the everyday common lifestyle, life examples so that they could really embrace and grasp the truth of what he was saying. So he would often compare God's kingdom, for instance, to farming, using farming examples, farming techniques. He would sometimes compare it to fishing because, you know, one of the professions of that time was fishing. Indeed, even his own disciples, many of them were fishermen. So when he used examples around fish, those were examples they could easily assimilate and understand. He'd use examples that related to shepherding, because shepherding also was another common thing that was done then. So shepherding was something that they understood. And so some of his examples, his parables, had to do with shepherding and also agriculture and even sports, the aspect of sports. So he used the parables to make truth relevant and to make it practical as well. And he also used parables to get people's attention. You know, it's so awesome when you begin to illustrate the truth, and through the art of storytelling, it's captivating. These are interesting stories that captured people's attention and their imagination. So these were stories that they would not forget. And that's the last reason why he used parables, is to help people remember the message and enable the audience to actually retain that message. So those are the reasons why Yeshua told parables and used parables quite often in teaching and training, in equipping, in activating his disciples and those that are around him. He used parables to convey that message. So I want us now to get right into the message of the parable of the sower. And of course, we get this this message from Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 13, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 9. And the scripture reads as follows, and then we'll look at the message that is contained in there. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Verse 9, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So this scripture is talking about four different scenarios. It's talking about, and we're going to go into each and every one of them one by one, four different types of soil. And it's talking about seed and it's talking about soil. And many times, you know, when we're talking about kingdom principles, we like to focus on the seed. We like to focus on the seed. And sometimes we forget about the soil. And we need to know that within the kingdom, one of the kingdom principles is looking for soil. We must make sure that and know that the soil is equally important. So as good as the seed may be, a seed will not germinate well or bring forth a good harvest in deficient soil, in soil that is not rich, in soil that is not enriched. It needs to have good soil. So in as much as we focus on the seed and teach on the seed, we also equally need to also teach on the soil, because the soil, the seed plus the soil is what brings forth a harvest. So going back to Matthew 13, four scenarios, four different types of soil. And of course, this is talking about, you know, on one level, it's talking, the word of God is talking about the word of God as the seed, the word of God coming into us as the seed and our hearts. As believers, the seed being sown out, which is the word of God, and being sown out and then falling in four different types of soil, which are our hearts. So heart number one is the wayside heart. I'm going to just label it the wayside heart. And verse 18 and 19 says, this, we're now in Matthew 13, verse 18 and 19. It says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, because now the scripture is explaining what the parable means. In verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and casheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. So remember the first seed, the first scenario, the first soil was that soil that actually was the seed that was sown by the wayside. And in verse 4, it said that this seed fell by the wayside and the fowls came and devoured them up. This is the group now of people who, when they hear the word of God, they don't actually receive the word of God. That seed of the word of God does not enter into their hearts. It falls by the wayside. It's devoured. It's taken up. And this is the heart really that doesn't receive spiritual truth because it lacks concentration. It's wandering. It's out there. You know, sometimes you get believers who hop from one service to another, from one assembly to another. These are believers who are not established, who are not focused, who lack focus and discipline and concentration. These are what we may term as wayside believers or believers with wayside hearts, because it's easy for the enemy to snatch the word out of such hearts because they don't give the word chance, any chance to settle or to penetrate their hearts. And so we need to be very careful, especially when you're a new believer, that you don't allow the enemy to come and snatch away the word of God. Check your heart, check your mind, and find out, is it inclined this way? Do you get easily excitable and excited about something, but only a couple of weeks down the line to be busy doing something else? So that's the first group, is the group with a wayside heart. Second group is what we're going to call the stony-hearted people. So we're still on the aspect of seed. parable of the seed and the sower. And so this group, it says in verse 20 and 21, are those who receive the seed in stony places. So that's the reason for the stony heart. In stony places, the same as he that hears the word and anon with joy receives it. Yet he has no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. So this second group, now their hearts, the condition of their hearts, the condition of the soil of their hearts is stony. It's full of stones. And this is a heart which is not able to process, is not able to meditate on and take and appropriate the truth of God's word. So these are the believers, group of believers who hear God's word, but they do not appropriate it. These are those who get excited. You know, I can almost hear them in the service shouting, amen, amen, big amen. So excited when the word is preached, but they do not allow the word to actually settle and sink in their hearts and their spirits. They don't allow the word of God to do a transformative work in them. And so that when that word sinks in, when persecution comes, then they're able to stand. So these are believers who don't allow the word to settle in. So when persecution does arise, when trials and tribulations do come up, and the Bible guarantees us that we will have those trials and tribulations, but it also guarantees us that when we are in him we live and move and have our being, when we are in him, we will overcome all those trials and tribulations. So we are to expect persecution. We are to expect trials and tribulations. That is part of our journey. The journey and the walk of faith is facing those. But we must not allow persecution. We must not allow trials and tribulations. We must not allow whatever trial you're facing now, whether it's unemployment, whether it's not having any job, whether it's COVID. We cannot allow any health challenge, any financial challenge, any employment challenge, any ministry challenge, any marital challenge. We cannot allow any of those challenges to actually steal the word of God from our hearts, from our spirits. We cannot allow any of those challenges to cause us to abandon our faith. And so then we have the third group. The third group are what we're going to call the thorny heart group people. And we're still in Matthew 13. And Matthew 13, verse 22 says, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So this is a heart now that's so anxious, filled with anxiety about what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, mortgage and rent to be paid, school fees of the children, all of those things, the million things that we face every day. And so worried about what am I going to eat and drink? And in fact, if we go back to Matthew 6 and we start from verse 24, that verse is telling us that God specifically tells us that, listen, we cannot serve him and mammon at the same time. We've got to make a choice. It's either you serve God or you serve mammon. And then the whole scripture goes down all the way to 33, but it's telling us throughout from 6:24 to 6:33, it's telling us not to be anxious. Don't be anxious about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. And then it tells us about the birds in the sky. It tells us about the flowers which are more gloriously arrayed than Solomon, better dressed than Solomon. It tells us about the grass that is here today and tomorrow. It's thrown in the fire, in the furnace. But none of those things, the birds are anxious, are worried, are stressed about what they will eat. And so God, the word of God, is encouraging us not to be anxious, because anxiety can steal that seed. Anxiety can steal the truth of his word, so that the word does not germinate in us, because the cares of the world are choking life out of the word. And our attention has been taken by the cares of the world instead of by the word of God. It's taken by the cares of the world instead of the word of God. So the thorny hearts, that's the challenge with the thorny hearts in Matthew 13 verses 22. And then in Matthew 13, verse 24, we have the group that we will call the good hearts, the good-hearted people. This is the fourth group that we're talking about. So we've talked about the first group, which is the wayside group, the wayside heart. And then we've talked about the second group, which is the stony heart. And we've talked about the third group, which is the thorny heart. And now we're going to talk about the good heart. This is the last group of people we're going to talk about, the good heart. So in verse 23 and 24, Matthew 13, verse 23, 24, it says, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth a hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. So here we have the good heart group people. And these are the group that have the right heart disposition. They have the right heart attitude, the attitude of the heart that can receive and benefit and profit from kingdom truth. These are the group of people, the good heart people, who will diligently hear the word. They will seek it out and they will study the word. The Bible says that study to show yourself approved. So they diligently seek out the word of God. They diligently hear the word of God, but they don't just hear it and seek out the word of God, but they also understand the word of God because they study the word of God. They meditate upon the word of God. You know, if you read Psalms 1 verses 1 to 3, talks about meditating and studying the word of God. These are the good-hearted people. They diligently hear the word, but they also understand the word out of study and meditation. And they also bear fruit out of what was sown. So there is a fruit that will come out of them because of the word that germinated, that was planted in their hearts, and it germinated and it's bearing fruit. You know, the Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. So what identifies us as sons of God, what identifies us as being part of the kingdom, what identifies us with the kingdom of God is the fruit. How will you know them? How will you know the genuine from the false, the real from the fake? You will know them by their fruit. And so when the word begins to germinate in our hearts, then it bears fruit out of the seed of the word of God that was sown in our hearts and in our spirits. And so this is the good-hearted people. They experience a transformed life. They become a living, walking epistle of the word of God. They are these who are practicing the word of God. And if we go into Joshua 1:8, it tells us that that is what we need to do, is to practice his word. And James 1, you know, we're told to be doers of the word and not mere hearers of the word, but also to be doers of the word. So this is my message, the message that I had for you today. We've talked about parables. We've talked about the importance of parables, why Yeshua HaMashiach loved to tell parables, because they convey deep spiritual truths. They reveal truth. They illustrate truth. They make truth, you know, practical and so very understandable. This is what the parables do. They make it relevant. They make it practical. They bring down maybe some complex spiritual truths and they make them simple and relatable so that we can relate to them. And parables get people's attention and they capture our attention, our imagination, and also parables also helps us remember the message. So it enables us to really remember and retain the message. So, and we've talked about the four different types of soil using Matthew 13, four scenarios, four different types of soil, the importance of knowing that the soil is critical to producing the harvest. So we can't just focus on the seed, but we must also focus on the soil, because the soil is equally as important. And we've talked about the four different types of soils or hearts in Matthew 13, 18, and 19, the wayside heart, which was the heart that doesn't receive spiritual truth because it lacks concentration. And so it's easy to snatch that word. The stony heart, which is the heart also that does not process or meditate on or appropriate the truth of his word. It gets excited, but it abandons the faith, and the word doesn't do its transformative work. The thorny heart, which we've spoken about, the heart that's filled with all the cares of the world, the what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, what mortgage and rent to be paid, and the school fees and the water bills and the electricity, all of those, career advancement, all those are things that take our attention and distract us and choke off the life of the word of God in us. And lastly, we talked about the good heart, those who have the right heart disposition and attitude of the heart, which enables them to receive and to profit from the kingdom truth and from the word of God. And we learned that these ones are those who will diligently hear the word, understand the word, study and meditate upon it, bear fruit from what was sown, and now have a transformed life and become a living epistle of the word of God. So I want to leave you with that and encourage you just to say, please pray about it. Ask God, do I fall in any of these four categories? And if I do, Lord, I need your help in moving forward. Use me as your vessel. Use me as your instrument. Father, may you be glorified, not only in my connection, but be glorified, Father, through all those you've brought to my side, my friends, and all those who you have brought and just brought us together. And so, Lord, we just bless you, and we give you glory, and we give you honor. In the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, we bless your name, and we look forward to meeting again next week. So have an amazing week, friends and family. Have an awesome time, and I look forward to sharing with you again. Same time next week. God richly bless you. Bye-bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shemikoti Ministries Radio Network. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyer with our co-producer Kayla Paget. Here we are once again taking you on a journey, and the journey is something that has been wrongly called the story of the prodigal son, but actually it is the story of the unconditional love of a father. Journey with me, because I want you to understand how it's important to have the right foundation over your life. God bless you. Join us.
Foundation of Christianity. It should start right there. Jesus Christ says, when the disciples one day were asking him, how do we relate with God to what we call prayer? Because prayer is communication. It is communication with a father. And I wanted to watch what Jesus says. He doesn't say, when you pray, say, our God, our majestic Jehovah, our King of kings and our Lord of lords. Many cliches, many words, many levels that we give him. All those are important. But he says, when you come to talk to him, the foundational tool or foundational thing you need to establish is he is a father. So he says, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. So it's important that you understand the foundational tool or the foundational basis by which you and I relate with God. We don't relate with him as God Jehovah. We don't relate with him according to his titles. We don't relate to him as Adonai. We don't relate to him as El Shaddai. We don't relate to him as Jehovah Shalom or Jehovah Nissi. The foundational basis by which we walk with God, he is a father. Come on, say that with me, online family. Put it on the chat if you are. He is my father. Because once you say he is your father, it creates a relationship paradigm that is very key and that is very important. When I come to him, it is based on that relationship. Many people often say that to me, but I find it difficult to call him father because my relationship with my father was polluted. My relationship with my father, he was an absentee father. He was never there for me. My relationship with my father, he always told me I was ugly. Or we gave birth to a boy and we wanted a girl. Or we gave birth to something that we never expected, or you come before your time. It doesn't matter. The foundational basis of understanding the relationship that we have with this invisible, mighty God, you must view him as a father, because he's different. He's different from your earthly father. He's different from a father that was absent in your life. He's different from a father who rejected you. He's different from a father who was never there for you. So let me walk with you once again in that journey. Father-child relationship. And our text, it's now on part two. For those that joined us last week in Destiny, we realize that fathering becomes a very important factor in our lives, and it's important that we understand why fathers are important. Fathers are important in our lives in a world where the devil is trying by all means to decapitate the headship of men. We are living in a day and age where you and I need to understand what the devil is trying to do. That's why I gave you the stats, and I told you that the stats that I gave you from last week, 80% of what we call rapists today, these are children that were raised where there was no father in the house. And I gave you that 71% of dropouts from schools. These are children that were raised by single parents, homes without fathers. And I told you 85% of our prisons today are people, men and women, that were raised in families where there was no father. 95% of criminals that we have in the world today, these are men and women, these are sons and daughters, once again, raised in families, fatherless homes. 90% of gangs and gangsterisms that we are talking about in the world today, all those boys and girls raised in homes without fathers. Of all the stats that I'm giving you, the suicide rate that is taking place in our world today, 5 times of those suicide rate coming from fatherless homes. 14 times of those, they end up having rape crimes, and 20 times of those, prison. But Jesus Christ gave us a better way when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He extends that sentence and he goes on to say, if you want to enjoy a relationship, even though you did not have an earthly father, even though your earthly father was never there for you, even though your earthly father never affirmed, never encouraged you, never confirmed you, even though your earthly father was an absentee dad, even though your father, you don't even know who he is, even though you were raised in an orphanage, even though you were fostered and raised by a grandmother, by an auntie, or by just a mother, he says, I am the way to the Father, not the church, not religion. Get that clear. Jesus says, I am the conduit and the channel that can take you straight to the heart of the Father. So it is possible in this day and age, if you are raised in a time where you do not know how to father your children because you never were fathered yourself, there is a better way. Jesus Christ says, he is the way that will lead you to the Father. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm running with a story, and the story is found in the book of Luke chapter 15. Sandwiched in that story, Jesus starts off by talking to his multitudes in that time. 3 parables. The first parable deals with the lost sheep. Talks about a father or a man who had 100 sheep and he lost one. And he says, the man is not satisfied by the 99 that he has. He leaves the 99. He goes out after that one. Jesus says, he will not come back until he finds that one. He moves on to talk about another parable, and they are listening to him. As they listen to him, they are mesmerized by what Jesus Christ is getting at. But it's very important for you to understand, because the parable of the shepherd and the sheep reminds me and brings to my knowledge the element that one thing out of alignment, one thing in your life out of position can affect everything, can damage everything in your life. A child who is raised in a family with not both parents, a father and a mother, grows up with issues that cannot be solved by money, that cannot be solved by drugs, that cannot be solved by materials of this world. So Jesus says, one sheep not with 100, 99 does not make a whole. 99 can be good, 99 can be everything that you are wanting in life, but that one thing that is out of place end up affecting the 99 that is there. That's the point there that Jesus Christ is trying to make. So you've got people that got everything. You have money, you have a job, you've got family, you've got all the good things around your life. But still at night you can't sleep, because human beings are born with an emptiness inside of them. See, and that emptiness cannot be filled by anything else, can only be filled by a loving father. I want to introduce you today to a loving father. When Jesus moves on to talk about the second parable, he deals with a woman who had lost a coin of the 10 pieces that she had. She lost one. She sweeps the house, as we know the story, as Jesus gives the parable. She will not sleep up until she finds that lost coin. By the time he goes on now to our text in Luke chapter 15 from verse 11, for you that will follow with us, please follow us on our link on YouTube. Actually, you'll find that message. But I want to give you a summary of that which we covered, because that parable, oftentimes as preachers, we have called it the story of the prodigal son. But when you look at it really, theologically, it's not a story about the prodigal son. It is a story about the father's unconditional love. It's the story about a father showing us the love he has for his children. So we see when you read in verse 11 of where we were reading together, and we found out from verse 11, Jesus says in this story, a man with two sons, the younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. His father agrees to divide his wealth between his sons. Remember, I was saying to a friend of mine, and I said, watch what happens in the story, because it's very important that you pick up on these little details, what the Bible is saying. Oftentimes we get carried away in the story and we miss what God wants us to get there. A father had two sons. So it's not a story about the prodigal son, because it's a story that involves two boys. So I think let us be fair in extrapolating and explaining what God wants us to learn in this story, because the story is about two boys. And while it was the younger son that asked for his divide, while it was the younger son that asked for his wealth, but it's important for you and I to understand both of them got their divide, and they were given their inheritance. It says where we are going. It says the few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings, moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. Please catch that, the wild living. The other version says the riotous living. It's important that you get that as we go. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. So he's gone to a distant land. He's met up with a drought. But while he is there, he's now in debt. Here's what the Bible says. Great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. How bad does it get? And oftentimes in our walk with God, you begin to realize that the few lessons that you pick up from there, and obviously the few lessons for those that were with us, we begin to find out that this young man, arrogant as he was, is asking for inheritance before his time. That oftentimes in our walk with God, we do ask God to bless us. We ask God to give us gifts. We ask God to give us a marriage. We ask God to give us a job. We ask God to give us the good things that we love because we are his children, right? But just like the relationship that you see between parents and their children, there are things they won't give you before your time. There was a time I could not give Josh or Sharon, when they were children, the car keys to drive. Even though they knew how to handle the keys, they might have known how to put in ignition. They might have known how even to start the car, for crying out loud. But because it was before time, age-wise, I would not allow them to drive. Why? Because sometimes in our relationship with God, there are things we ask God, we ask our Father to give us. And sometimes when God does not give us those things, we think God does not care. We think God does not love us. We think, God, why are you not giving us the things that we want? So for some of us, we even throw a tantrum. I'm not going to go to your church anymore. I'm not going to pray anymore because, God, you don't like me. How come you gave others and you didn't give it to me? But listen to me. God loves you. Nonetheless, he knows when the right time to give you things. And you know what? That makes me now even to remember in my life, my journey in the ministry for 34 years, I have been serving God. And I begin to thank God that there are prayers that I prayed when I was 18. There are prayers that I prayed when I was 20. There are prayers, big prayers, that I prayed when I was 23. There are prayers, oh yes, that I prayed. Prayers with big visions, prayers with the big dreams. And I would cry for God to give me big things. But I thank God that God did not give me then those prayers that I ask for, because sometimes not giving me what I need or what I want at 21, at 25, makes me to understand now why he waited until I was 51 to give me those things. Because sometimes God does not give me what I want at a time when I think I want it, not because he does not love me, but it's a protection for me. The younger son teaches us a practical lesson. And the lesson is, if you ask what you are asking before your time, you can find yourself operating, write this, if you're writing down, it's important. There are two wills of God, two wills of God. W-I-L-L-S, two wills of God. That is what we call the perfect divine will of God for your life. There is also what we call the permissive will of God, not for your life. It's important, therefore, that you understand that either way, if you get into a place of the younger son who is not enjoying the relationship with his father who is alive, he then asks for his inheritance, even though the father knows what's best for the younger son. But because the younger son begs and pleads, pushes and nudges, Father, give me what's mine. You can tell that this was not only the first time the son had come to the father. That tells you that the son has been begging there, give me what's mine. Because old men are not dying soon. Because the issue, if you understand how they divided the inheritance, the inheritance being divided among the two boys. Firstly, the father had to die first so that you can get what belonged to you. But you see, the son could not wait for the father to die. In essence, the son is saying shamefully to the father, when I look at you, you are not getting sick. There's no pain in your body. There are no signs or symptoms that you're going to die soon. Give me what's mine. Old man, because I am a Burger King child, you know, I'm a McDonald's boy, and I want to go and have fun with my friends. He gets all his stuff and in inheritance, he goes away from his father. And if you are with us, you'll find out that he starts dying, he starts losing the time he moves away from his father. In your relationship with God the Father, it's important for you to get that. A time that you can live as a child of God without a devotional lifestyle. When you read the Bible in the morning, when you pray in the morning, when we say stay in tune with God the Father every morning, it's not a religious duty, it's not a chore, it's not some religious thing that you're just doing or rhetoric that you are following because you want to feel good or appease your flesh or appease your mind so that you feel that I have paid my dues. Keeping relationship with God every day as a daily devotional thing, even just to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I love you. Even to wake up in the morning, go in the shower and you're singing worship songs. Keeping that devotional relationship with your father, it enhances your fellowship and your relationship with him. Because it is your relationship with him that matters more than you just thinking you've got your father somewhere. God desires you keeping in touch with him. Not once a week, not once a month, but on a daily basis. Listen, listen, listen. The son, the younger boy, gets what belongs to him. Therefore, he sets him up, or he sets himself up for what I call the permissive will of God. When he gets into the permissive will of God, the father, it was not the best way for him. It was not the divine, perfect will of the father. But because the son bugs the father, he gets what belongs to him. Sometimes God will give you what you want to your own destruction. Not because that's what God wanted, but because you are pushing to have your own way. A lot of Christians today that will testify to that. Only if I had waited. Only if I had waited for the right opportune time. Sometimes we find ourselves like that in that moment. We get angry, we get upset, and we get all worked up because we think we want what we want, and we want it now. The generation around us today in the 21st century, it is a generation of quick fixes. It's a generation that wants whatever they want, and they want it now. Here's my prayer to God today, that may you know the perfect will of God for your life. Why did you say this with me? Say this with me, Father God.
Father God.
All I want in my life.
All I want in my life.
Is the divine perfect will, you have for me. I do not want to be in the permissive will. Put me in the perfect will. And I pray for you today. May you be the one that walks in the perfect will of God. Because God knows. God knows why you are single at this time. God knows why you are now all by yourself at this stage. God knows why that divorce went through. God knows why. Where you are right now. Stop condemning yourself. God knows why. He understands exactly where you are. He's a father. The son. The younger son teaches us. Therefore, few principles that when we get what we want to get before our time, it is our own destruction. And it's a painful story because it tells you he moved away, distanced himself from his father. Number two, there was drought where you went. There was famine where you went, which means even though there was lack where he was, there was famine where he was, there was nothing he was now looking for. He finds himself at a local farm and he goes to one of the lowest bottom of the rugger trade. He's looking after the pigs. There are two animals that are not loved at all by the Jewish people. It is the pigs and the dogs. And it's important for you now to understand that the Bible talks about him going to your vacation that makes him turn, look after the goat, after the pigs. He's there. And it gets worse. He's now feeding in the same environment with the pigs. Sometimes we don't learn our lessons until God takes us right at the bottom of the barrel. You hear me? Sometimes we don't learn. The best lessons oftentimes that we learn is when God leaves us to our own demise. And we go, we think it's working, until we realize nothing is working, Jack. And by the time we reach the lowest of the low, and then we wonder, where are you, God? when it hurts. This boy learned his lesson. So we learn from this boy that sometimes it reaches up to the bottom before I rise up. Maybe there's some of you right now here. You are where you are right now in your life. You feel you're right at the bottom of the rudder. You feel you are at a place where nothing is working. You are at a place where you think, you know what, I've tried everything. But in all the things that I have tried, nothing seems to be working. I've got news for you. And the news that I want you to get is, here's now where the difference of the three parables. The lost sheep, when the man went to look for his sheep, the only problem we have or the challenge we have about the lost sheep is that the sheep will not bleat in knowing whether it's lost. So therefore, it's a silent search for the man looking for the sheep. It's a silent search for the woman, second parable, who lost the coin. Because the coin cannot say, I'm under the carpet, right? The coin cannot say, come look for me, I fell under your chair, right? The coin cannot talk back to the woman. Where are you, coin? Where are you, lost sheep? But the Bible says in the last parable, we have got few key indicators that can help us. When the prodigal son, as we call him, when he left and went his way, in order for him to come back, the father is not standing at the house. The father does not get out of his house. The father does not get out of his gate. The father does not get out of his home. Because he knows, in order for me to reconcile and get my fellowship back with the son needs to come back. So your Bible therefore declares something very, very interesting. It says, the young man became very hungry, verse 16, that even the pot he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. Here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father, and I will say, watch this, I have sinned against both heaven and yourself. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. He returns home to his father. While he's still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. Oh, I love that, I love that, I love that, I love that.
Done for the day. Once again, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network International. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia. And our co-producer, Kayla Paget, is bringing you on this study, Luke chapter 15, the story of the father's unconditional love, the younger son and the elder son, part one and part two.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.